Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Jeff Schwartz, this moment we've been looking forward to for a long, long time as we get a sneak peek into what is going to the landscape of the NFL, the look of the NFL, who's playing who and when they're playing them.
Well, obviously, I want to see Jacksonville's first game because I want to see Tebow on the field.
That's number one.
That's number one for me. no, look, I wrote about this for Fox Sports. It'll be up later tonight after schedule release. So if you want to check out the entire list, you'll go to my Twitter at Jeff Schwartz. I'll tweet it out. But also, you can go to the app as well and what desktop, whatever. But the number one thing I'm looking for tonight is actually what the Green Bay Packers schedule is and what time of the day they're playing. I'll tell you why. We know the Packers are a team that's in prime time very often, right? And they're in prime time very often because of their history, but because of Aaron Rodgers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers is the MVP, and Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and all those things. So I'm looking to see how many primetime games the Packers get, because that'll tell you what the NFL thinks about Rodgers playing for them this year, right? If they get the normal amount of primetime games, you know, 4 to 6. I think 6 is the max you can get, but 4 to 6, right? Everyone gets a Thursday night game. I believe everyone does. I think maybe not, but everyone gets a Thursday night game. So, you know, we'll see where they are as far as how many primetime games. If they get 2 or 3, it's like, oh, you know what? Maybe we don't think Rodgers is going to be there. But the number one game everyone wants to watch this year is Green Bay at Kansas City, right? The MVP, future Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers, against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. And that's the game that I want to watch too, but we need Aaron Rodgers to play in that game. So that's kind of like an asterisk game, right? Like, if Aaron Rodgers plays, if he doesn't, I care less about Jordan Love, Pat Mahomes. But that to me, Jonas, number one game everyone wants to see this year. And this is thanks to the new schedule, right? This is part of the new schedule. This is the where for those who don't know, right, 17 games this year. You play 6 games in your division, right? You play 6 games in your division. And then you play one division in each conference. And then you play, I don't know how the best way to explain it, but basically, let's say the Chiefs. You play the AFC West, obviously. You play the AFC South. Then you play the corresponding finishing seed of division in the AFC North and the AFC East, right? So Chiefs play the Ravens, who finish number one in the AFC East, and Chiefs would play the Bills, who play, and they do play, in the AFC East. And then, but now, the crossover game is that same formula, but in the NFC, right? You crossover conferences, so that's why the Packers and Chiefs end up playing each other. So, I'm excited for this game, Jonas. That's the number one game I'm looking forward to if Rodgers plays this year.
And by the way, when the Chiefs and Bills play this year, because you said they're playing this year for sure.
That is correct? My second game on my list, yes.
Yeah, all right. If they're going to play this year, can the Chiefs actually like go along with what we're all wanting to see and not just run the football down Buffalo's throat like they did last year?
Well,
like,
they didn't
come
do
on,
that
for Christ's sake.
But they
come
didn't
on.
Do that in the playoff game.
Oh, no, but I mean, I'm like, we get a regular season matchup between these two teams. Can we see a shootout? And first of all, the halftime show for that game should be who can throw the ball farthest. All right, I want to know Josh Allen, and I want to know Patrick Mahomes, who's throwing the ball farthest, because I think Josh Allen's going to be a slight underdog, and I'm going to put money on Josh Allen. Tell me that right now.
I think they'll be about a 3-point underdog as usual. And look, we're going to have home field advantage back this year, so we might get, you know, lines kind of moving back a little bit. Yeah, so Kansas City Buffalo is my second game on my list. Remember, they played twice last year. The Chiefs dominated basically both those games. The first one, as you mentioned, rushed for 265 yards. That game, Buffalo did not blitz Pat Mahomes one time. It was the first time.
The circumstance also dictated the game plan for Kansas City, because wasn't it raining? I think it was one of those weird...
It was cold. It was the COVID rescheduled game. It played like a Tuesday
night.
That's right. Remember?
Yep, that's right.
It was a weird night. It was a little rainy, but the Bills just played cover two and said, "Hey, run the football." And Chiefs were like, "Okay, we'll run the ball." They had some offensive line issues. My brother was out. That's the first game he missed most of that game. He started, but missed the rest of the game. They had some new interior pieces. And they just ran the ball. Ran the ball the entire game. They won 26 to 20, something like that. But it wasn't. It was closer at the end than I think we remember. Pat Mahomes had to convert like a 3rd and 13 to keep a drive alive at the end of the game. Otherwise, Allen would have had a chance to come down and take the lead. And then the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs defensively had the same game plan. We're going to blitz Josh Allen's throwing hand to the right, which they did all game. They flustered him. And the Chiefs obviously offensively threw the ball more in that game as Buffalo brought a little bit more pressure. And it wasn't terribly close. So I look at this game for Buffalo as you know, a kind of a good litmus test because they added pass rush this season, especially in the draft. That was their problem last year against Kansas City. They couldn't touch Pat Mahomes. And the Chiefs, in my opinion, Jonas, maybe you differ, are the clear favorites in the AFC after what they did in the draft and what they did with Orlando Brown. I mean, they fixed a problem they had. And if Mahomes is not touched, they're going to score 30 points every game. So to me, it's, hey, is Buffalo good enough defensively to slow down the Kansas City? And what they learn offensively of how to stop. The Chiefs pressured Josh Allen, I think, over 50% of the snaps in the first game. And then the AFC Championship game, they blitzed them every single down. So what has Buffalo learned in, as far as how to make adjustments against Kansas City?
Yeah, and I think, look, Buffalo, I love the story. I'm also curious to see what Josh Allen looks like, because the one thing you can say, and this is sort of credit to the Bills, and I've never understood that. This is the aspect that I've never understood when it comes to quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks in the NFL. And this used to happen more back in the day than it does now. Back in the day, it was like you drafted a quarterback and you drafted it based on his success in college, but then you were forcing him to play your style of offense.
Correct.
And learn your system. And nowadays in the NFL, they're like, oh, why don't we take what you did well and let's build around it? And I think the Bills are the perfect example.
Correct.
Of a team that saw Josh Allen and said, let's build around this guy. And that's why you've seen him get better every year. And the idea that, you know, we go into, well, you know, so-and-so was not accurate in college, so he's not going to. Well, man, Josh Allen wasn't accurate at junior college, and he's only gotten better because they built around him. I want to see what the next level for him is as a coming off last year, which was by far and away his best season.
So I was wrong about Josh Allen. He's far better than I thought. But, you know, the accuracy thing in college was pretty steadfast. I mean, if you couldn't complete 60% of passes in college, you did not complete over 60% in the NFL. Yep. Like, that was pretty steadfast.
You remember the Penn – was it Christian Hackenberg?
There's a bunch of examples of these guys that just couldn't do it in college. And, you know, it's hard to improve your completion percentage. And Josh Allen did a great job last year. I credit, you know, the Bills and Jordan Palmer as quarterback coach as well, to very helpful in making that happen. So the next game on my list is Buffalo at Tampa Bay. And the reason I actually wrote was about Josh Allen, because this year – he's going to get everyone's best shot, right? Because of what he did last year. And I don't think he'll be as good as last season. I think he'll still be good. But you have Kansas City, right? You have Tampa Bay. You have the Dolphins defense. You have Bill Belichick's defense. You have Robert Saleh now in New York. You're going to get everyone's best chance. They're going to spend all offseason trying to find ways to stop the Bills. And so, again, another opportunity in Tampa Bay against the Tampa Bay defense, against Bruce Arians the D coordinator's name is
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles, yes, Todd Bowles, great last year. Todd Bowles, and Tom Brady. Like, this is, you're going to play out. I don't know what time of year this game will be, but it could be later in the season. Could be hot, which is tough for cold weather team to go down into Tampa Bay. So this is an opportunity again to see if Josh Allen has improved from last year, but really against better competition all season, how's he going to play?
Yeah, no, that's going to be a lot. I also, does Dallas enter into your list at all? Do the Dallas
any
Cowboys
games? I have left one spot open, and I was waiting to put a Cowboys Giants game on this just because why not? And then it leaked out that the Cowboys at Giants Week 15. That game might be the game that fills my last spot on this because, you know, I did this yesterday, or a couple of days ago. I did a thing for the NFC East, and we're looking at odds to win the division, and the Giants, I think, have the best value at plus, it was 450 at that point. I don't know what it is on Fox Bet right now.
Yeah.
And it's the popular bet, which does worry me. I hate being, like, going with a popular kind of bet. But, you know, that game could determine the division. We have not had a repeat winner in the NFC East since 2004.
It's such a weird division.
It's a weird division. And they're not going to be as bad as last year. I don't think so. That feels like hard to be.
By the way, can you bet on just Philadelphia to not come close to winning the division? Is that a bet that's out there? Because I would like to put a heavy amount on that.
It should be. Eagles to not – well, they'll have Eagles to not
so
make the
playoffs.
They'll have Eagles to not make the playoffs. I mean, that's not going to be out now, but they're going to have that eventually. And that probably be like minus 1,000, right? I mean, I don't
think
anyone thinks. Like, maybe they can rock, paper, their scissors their way into playing into the playoffs. They just play rock, paper, scissors.
You bet $100, you win a half stick of gum.
Yeah,
I had a
bet the other day. My buddy calls PFL fights on ESPN, which is the pro fight league. And so we talk a little bit about, and he said, this girl, Kayla Harrison, I think her name is, she's like the best, and she's going to just dominate. And so I was like, it was minus 2,500 for her to win this past her fight last weekend. And so I was like, I put in like $100, right? Just to see what my net was, like $3. I'm like, and she won in 30 seconds. I mean, but I was like, I don't know if I want to just do that. But some people lay a lot of money, but that's a spot where you might want to lay that money. Cowboys, Giants, the NFC East is interesting because look, the Giants, I think, have done a good job building up their roster. But again, look at who they beat last year, right? They beat a lot of bad football teams. They went and beat Seattle. That was their big win. So I just got to see Daniel Jones do it this year, right? But, the Cowboys defensively, I think, are still a mess, even though they added to that. Dan Quinn, who's their DC, he was great in Seattle as an defense coordinator. Goes to Atlanta, and pretty much defense has been bad for four years now.
It's the weirdest thing. And you know what it reminds me of a lot?
Maybe Pete Carroll was the reason why they were good in Seattle, not him.
It could be. But it reminds me a lot of what's happening in Tennessee with the Titans.
You've got
Mike Vrabel, this defensive coordinator, and the offense isn't the issue, man. Man, Derrick Henry, for all the talk about, don't pay a running back, Derrick Henry's gotten better since he got the contract, and he had a really good year last year. And Ryan Tannehill's been really good. And so offensively, that's never been the issue. But defensively, the Titans are they're a diaper fire. And I can't figure it out because Mike Vrabel's this defensive guy. And you would think, all right, well, at least that's the personality of the team, and it's not. And it was the same thing with the Falcons. Look, we could talk all we want about what happened in the Super Bowl and them blowing that lead against the Patriots and what Kyle Shanahan should or shouldn't have done as the offensive coordinator. What the hell happened to the defense?
So this is, the defense, they couldn't rush the passer, obviously. And I think they did a good job this year in adding to pass rush, but really adding the secondary, right? They added Caleb Farley. I think the best value in all the draft was Elijah Molden. They had pick 100. I mean, he was a top 50 player out of Washington. Yeah. Look, it goes to show you that, coaching, when you become a coach like that and you're in charge of the personnel decisions, it's tougher to kind of be so hands on the defense, right? And it's tougher to develop players when you're the head coach and not just the defensive coordinator, right? When you're the defense coordinator, you just worry about your defense. You're the head coach, you worry about the whole team, right? We've seen, with Atlanta, they just couldn't develop pass rushers. They just couldn't do it. And Vrabel obviously has not been able to really develop pass rushers and develop secondary pieces. And so they've added to that, obviously, this offseason. So it's just tougher when you're the head coach. And getting back to Dallas, Jonas, like Dan Quinn, I got to kind of see it on defense, right? Before I decide. I mean, offensively, I think we saw them improve a lot last year. Obviously, with Dak, they improved, I should say, with Dalton, right? But with Dak coming back and the weapons they have, and you have to hope that Teron Smith, the left tackle, can stay healthy this year, and their offensive line was really beat up last year, so we're hopeful Dallas is going to be good. I just don't know about their defense.
Right.
Washington football team, defensively, they're monsters, right? And they might have the best
defensive D-line
in
front
football.
Is a nightmare.
But
a nightmare.
But I just, Fitzpatrick, he kind of has like good year, bad year. And I just don't believe he's going to win the division for them. And then obviously the Eagles are a dumpster fire. So it's probably the Giants division. I think if you're looking at odds wise, so that's why that week 15 matchup could be really for the division, right? That would be a Fox national TV game as usual. That might be around Christmas time too. Maybe that's a Christmas. There's, I think, two games this year on Saturday on Christmas. So that'd be a lot of fun to watch. That'd be an important game for the NFC East.
Absolutely. Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, we're going to continue to have the discussion, the top matchups in the NFL. It is schedule release day. All of that for you next here on FSR.
This is Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time here on FSR. Is Dub with us in Nashville? Is he Dub, are you there hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio?
I am here this morning, right. Indeed.
All right. Well, I have a quick question for you. So we were, Jeff and I, most notably me, were taking shots at the Titans defense last year. And I just want to make sure that, you know, we know Clay's very fond of the Tennessee Titans. I just want to make sure this isn't going to bury us for future opportunities to help out when Clay's not here. Because I don't know if he's all in on the Titans defense, but they were a disaster last season. I just thought we should point that out. So I just want to make sure we're not burning a bridge.
Oh, no. I mean, facts are facts. The Titans defense was absolutely atrocious last season, so I don't think there's any denying that. If you didn't mention it, I think it would maybe be a problem.
Okay, very good. Yeah, when you're in a bidding war for Jadeveon Clowney before the season, that right there might be an indicator that you might not have a pass rush. That there might be problems. I'm just saying, there might be a problem. When you're bidding with the Saints for Jadeveon Clowney before the season, so I just want to make sure we're all good there in Nashville. All right, so Jeff, we are talking about the schedule release. It is coming out later, and this goes to show you how big the schedule release is. They are cutting in to live programming on Fox, CBS, and ABC this morning.
Oh, yeah.
When week one of the schedule is released, they are going to be cutting in to showcase week one. And we're not talking like Fox Sports 1 or No. We're talking Fox and Friends. Like, so all these TV networks, it's crazy.
I just saw a tweet where, like, or Packers Saints is the week one matchup, yep. And it was announced on Fox and Friends. I was okay, so it's important.
Yeah,
okay,
it cool. is. and to see where it's come all the way to this, seeing the NFL schedule come out, and now we're breaking in on news stations to talk about the NFL might let you know why the NFL's king. Like, might let you know.
And look, you talked earlier at the very start of the show, and we got distracted by Timothy Tebow discussion. that the NFL has captured this month now with this move to have the schedule, which is what they want to do, right? Their goal is to have every month of the calendar dominated by them. And so far they've had, obviously they have September, really August, September, all the way through now February.
Yep.
March is free agency. April is the draft. And now May is schedule release. Now between now and obviously, we'll give the NBA a month or two to have their own shine. Which again, I mean, the NBA, I just haven't been into as much this year. Maybe because the Lakers have been so beat up. But the NBA obviously starts their play-in and whatnot next week. So the NBA will get their shine. But right now, the NFL, it's all about the NFL for months and months and months at a time.
It's awesome. Yeah, it really is awesome. And it's a great. And look, I wondered about this during COVID. You know, sports had to adjust. They had to adapt and make changes both on the field and off the field. And I always thought to myself, all right, so when is what's going to be here to stay? And I've wondered about that. Like, what is going to be here to stay? And I just felt like there were some things that these sports tried that they looked at and said, maybe we wouldn't have done this had it not been for this situation. But now that we're doing it, it makes a lot of sense. The NFL dropping the schedule in May is a home run. That is content for days for television and radio.
It is. Speaking of those loans, I mean, they obviously found something that worked well. The NBA doing the play-in thing is not one of those things.
You're not a fan. I've heard.
I mean, it just is silly. But nonetheless, the NFL again is going to announce the schedule tonight. It's already been leaked out. I mean, maybe by tonight we'll know the entire schedule before it's actually out to everyone else. But yeah, it's a whole event. And for, obviously we talked about, you know, for players, but you know, for like for fans, I mean, you're looking at obviously your week one opponent, and I remember doing this more in college, than the NFL, but you know, you're circling your wins and losses, right? Okay, we're gonna win this game, we're gonna win that game, we're gonna win, right? Like that's what you're doing.
So at Oregon, you guys were looking at Oregon State, going, oh, that's a win.
Unfortunately, it was never that easy with Oregon State. but yeah, we could just circle wins and losses. Very quickly, but yeah, that's the fun part about it. And there's so many more games we haven't even got to yet that are outstanding on the NFL schedule.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll just say this: I am disappointed. I am disappointed by one aspect of the schedule.
We will get
to that here coming up later on in the hour, because I am bothered by one aspect of the schedule that is changing. But we continue on here. It is the NFL schedule release day. You've identified multiple games, your top games of the NFL. You'll have the full list up later on. FoxSports.com, correct, is where you'll have your list of top.
Yes, I will. Yes.
Now, the next one, and this seems like it's always a fun one, and it's a battle of the past, well, two of the last three MVPs, and that being Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, and you've identified this one as next up on your top games for 2021.
Yeah, it's Baltimore and Kansas City. Look, I people do not like my take of – I basically just am off Baltimore right now because of their inability to – win playoff games, and people, oh, it's a small sample size. All right. I mean, it's three seasons now. My problem with Baltimore is they look so different in the postseason. They just don't lose postseason games. They just look really different in the postseason. And that's my concern just offensively, right? They get to the postseason and just, they don't look like the same team. And so they're going to have to get through the Kansas City Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. And so far they played three times with Lamar Jackson against Pat Mahomes. And the first game, the Chiefs won in overtime. That was, you know, early in Lamar Jackson's career. Since then it's gotten worse. Since then the Chiefs were up 30-13 in the fourth quarter of a game in 2018 and 2019. And the Ravens, if you recall, kind of just like came back at the end to make it close, right? Remember Lamar threw two arm punts that were caught at the end of that game.
Yep.
And then last year, we all remember the Chiefs dominated that game, right? Just dominated Baltimore. So Baltimore, like, come on. You got to see it, right? This is a game. You want to beat the Chiefs, you better start showing it now. And I'm off Baltimore. People do not like this because they like the way Baltimore's. I'm not saying anything about the way Baltimore's run as an organization. I'm not saying, but I just, Jonas, I got to see in the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm old school like that. Maybe I'm old school, but like, great. They're good at going for it on fourth down. Like, they do all the right things, but it doesn't translate to the playoffs.
I look at that division as well, and I just wonder if the past couple of years were the opportunity that Baltimore could have cashed in and done big things. Because let's be honest, man, you know, the Steelers, and we can talk all we want about, oh, they weren't as good as their record last year. Well, I mean, with no running game, the Pittsburgh Steelers were, what, 11-0 in a COVID year? I mean, that's a pretty impressive start. I don't know about Roethlisberger's health, but if the Steelers can figure out the run game, I do think they're going to be an issue and they could be a problem. Cleveland is loaded. So when you look at teams that are stacked, offensively, defensively, they've added a couple of things here. So you look at them and go, okay, well, they could take another step. And that another step is a team that played really well against Kansas City in that playoff game. And then if Joe Burrow comes back healthy, Cincinnati, I don't see them contending for the division, but they could be a tough out. So this could be a more difficult year for Baltimore and a massive year for Lamar Jackson, especially with a potential payday coming up around the corner.
Yeah, so that kind of transitions to my next game, which is Cleveland at the Steelers. So are you a Steelers fan?
No, that's okay. Eddie Garcia.
Okay,
Eddie Garcia is a Steelers fan.
So this game is really fascinating to me because it could be the kind of the changing of the guard of this rivalry. And this is obviously a very storied rivalry and one that's been dominated by the Steelers. The Steelers have won, let me pull it up here. The Steelers have won 17 straight regular season home games against the Browns. Now, obviously, they lost the playoff game last year, right? But they've won 17 straight regular season games in Pittsburgh against the Browns. And if the Browns can go into Pittsburgh this season, and obviously we don't know the week of this game, and beat the Steelers, that to me is a signal that this rivalry has flipped, that the Browns are in control of this rivalry. The Browns might be in control of the AFC North. Wow. You're right about their roster. Their roster is loaded. You know, again, you look at Baltimore's roster, excuse me, you look at the Ravens, the Bills roster and the Browns roster. Those rosters might be better than Chiefs. But what outweighs it, obviously, is Pat Mahomes is far better than Baker Mayfield is, right? Or far better than Josh Allen is. And so that, but the Browns roster is unbelievably talented. They're well coached. They do the right things. They improve defensively, especially in the secondary, to stop Kansas City. I think the Bills and Browns did a good job of trying to plug holes in their defense to beat the Chiefs. And the Steelers, to me, look, I respect Mike Tomlin. If you recall, right before the season started last season, I wrote that Steelers were my Super Bowl surprise team. You looked at 2 years ago, now they went 8-8 with Duck Hodgins and Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. They were bringing Ben back. Defensively, I thought they'd be good. And I looked like a genius for the first 3 months of the season. But my problem for this year with the Steelers is that Big Ben basically has to defy odds, right? We've seen when older quarterbacks start going downhill, there's no reversing course, right? Tom Brady never got bad, right? He never got bad.
Yeah.
So Big Ben's going to have to reverse course and all of a sudden be something that we've seen really when it's downhill, it's time to go downhill, right? We've seen it with Drew Brees. We saw with Eli Manning at the end of his career. When it goes down, it goes down. Big Ben, I can't imagine. I mean, Eddie, do you think he's going back up?
Can you believe this disrespect, Eddie Garcia? The changing of the guard, the Browns are taking over the Steelers spot. Can you believe this?
That was a little much. 17 straight wins, but if they win one game in Pittsburgh, the script has been completely flipped. Can we at least have them win like two? I mean,
well, the Steelers are going to have to. You have a new quarterback next season, so you have to start kind of all over again. Like, yeah, you haven't had a new quarterback in a long time.
That's true. Yes, but can we find out who that quarterback is first before we?
I mean, you're not going to be good enough, or excuse me, bad enough to draft in the top 10, probably, right? So you're going to be like, 9-8, maybe make the playoffs, maybe not, drafting 18th overall. You find yourself a quarterback at 18 overall.
I get it's radio and we're supposed to say big things, but I don't know. I thought that was a little much, but okay.
I mean, I also wrote that as well, so it's not just
well,
the radio.
Well, if it's in print, then that, that's a different story.
I wrote the exact same thing I just said for everyone to see.
Eddie, you're not concerned with what you saw in the playoff game? That maybe
let's just put it this way. I would like to have known how that game would have gone if the center snapped on the first effing play didn't go into the end zone for a touchdown.
And what's crazy is, I mean, if Mike Tomlin went for it, was it 4th-and-3, kind of like later in the game, the Steelers were down 12 at that point, I think.
They were playing
10.
Well, too. Yeah,
like if Tomlin just goes for it, which I think most coaches would have just done it, that game is different. I think, Eddie, Steelers had a chance to win that game. The Browns didn't play well in the second half.
No, they didn't. But the way it started, it was just like, good God. The opening play of the game, you've given them a touchdown, and now you've got to play catch up for the entire rest of the game. And
it's never happened. The Browns are taking this over, man. I think they're doing the right things.
Look at that. All right, so listen, Jeff Schwartz says you can close the coffin on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now I'll be a Steelers hater after praising them all last year. Now I'm going to be a Steelers hater. Now I can't wait for all the
he's turning
Steelers
heel.
The Steelers hater tweets. You hate my team.
By the way, Steelers and Tebow fans, those are two fan bases you don't want to be on the opposite side of.
I piss everyone off. I'm an equal opportunity hater. You can't say I hate. I only hate two teams, but I'm an equal opportunity hater for everybody, I guess.
Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox, in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up next, there is a change to the schedule I'm not a fan of at all whatsoever. We will get into that. Also, we've got more of Jeff's top games as the NFL schedule release is taking place today. We'll have that for you.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
coming up, something different with the NFL schedule I'm not a fan of here. But Jeff, this was a – So before the show started, all I did was send out a tweet that said, in for Clay Travis alongside Jeff Schwartz on Outkick this morning. And I said, you can come hang out on Fox Sports Radio or you can listen on the iHeartRadio app. Harmless. No issue there. What do you think was a response I got from that tweet promoting that you and I were going to be on the show? Like, if you had to guess.
I just saw it. Yeah. I mean, it's a Raiders fan. It's not very surprising.
Yeah. I didn't know that giving the details of the show and you and I are filling in for Clay warranted somebody writing in on Twitter, the two racists joining the kingdom of Outkick. Who would have guessed?
And this guy, Danny G follows this person.
Of course he does.
Well.
It's an inside joke on the show. So for the two of you, whenever somebody says anything that is not even in context with the racist drop that Roberto plays sometimes, we'll just randomly say racist to whatever's going on.
Yeah, listen.
Oh, we're not in the joke. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Jonas. Yeah. We're not
racist.
In the joke.
Yeah.
You know, what you just said, Jeff, was racist.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's a good point.
Fair enough.
I didn't like your tone towards Danny. I do think that was a little racial. Yeah. Now that I think about it. Yeah. Now, upon further review, I think about it.
I'm fired from the show.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, look, I tweet out the thing about the kids yesterday, that terrible hit that was shown with those two young kids.
Man.
And people were like, this is Joe Biden's America. And I'm like, someone blamed the governor of Connecticut at one point. Like, in one of my tweets, I was like, what? Or the senator, I was like, what are you talking? Why are you talking about Joe Biden in the tweet about these two kids hitting each other? Joe Biden's America has become what?
And for those of you that haven't seen it, there's a video that's gone viral online. It's a Pop Warner practice. And it's a collision to where they're doing full-on tackling drills. I don't even know how old these kids are. What's 5 or 6, maybe 7 years old? And one kid just gets absolutely annihilated. And you could tell he's clearly banged up. Yeah, how is that racist? I don't even know what race the kid is. I'm just saying he got crushed, and the kid gets hit, and it's starting to make the rounds on social media, and people are praising it like, yeah, that's how you raise them tough. No,
mouth breathers are praising it with the way you raise them tough. The rest of us aren't.
Okay, I knew this back in the day. This is back before anybody knew anything about CTE or anything at all. I was taught this back in the day from older brothers that played football. Because I was like, oh, you know, I want to start lifting weights. And they always told me, no, don't lift weights until you get a little bit older. Because you can do damage because you're still growing into your body. So do not go out and start throwing around a bunch of weight. Because if your body is still growing, you don't want to stunt your growth or have any sort of issues like that. Just wait until you get to a certain age to start lifting. It's the same thing with this stuff. Like now that was back before we had any information. Your brains are still developing. Your bodies are still developing. Sending a 6-year-old like a kamikaze into another one and getting annihilated and showing it as a viral video and we're going to raise them tough. Dude, that you're going to do permanent damage to these kids. Like it's why flag football for youth football is starting to become more and more prevalent because people see the risks and the danger. Wait until you get older before you start cracking people. You don't need to do it that early.
So I didn't play tackle football till high school. I played a little bit of flag football as a kid, but I just didn't play football. And so this was I think I was still playing for the Panthers when this happened, but I was asked to there was a team in Charlotte, a youth team that was like the Oregon, that was like the Ducks. They wanted the Oregon O's on their helmet. So I called Oregon. I got them to send out some Oregon O's, and I went to their game. So I give them they put them on their helmets to watch a game. These kids were 6. And so this was like 10 years ago now. And I remember at the Pee Wee football game, first time ever watching Pee Wee football, I remember seeing how many kids hit helmet to helmet, right?
Oh, God.
And man. And what I realized, especially, is that the kids, you know, that age, you can't control your body. I have a 6-year-old now, okay? You can't control your body at that age, right? Most can't. Like, my daughter is 4. She's a great athlete. She's elite. Like, I can see she knows how to do it. But a lot of kids, like, you just, you can't control your body, right? Like my son could not right now if he played football. He can't control where his head goes, how to properly tackle, how to make a form tackle, like all those things, right? He wouldn't be able to do it right now. And I saw these kids playing Pop Warner. I thought to myself, I am never letting my kid play football until he gets to high school to control his body. It's a good example of this in this video.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. And to see and to your point, people celebrating it, I don't get it, man. I don't know how you look at that and go, oh,
a bunch of because you know why? Because they're a bunch of mouth breathers, and because they did that in high school, and now they're sitting on their couches, and I remember what I did in high school. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, it's awful. Jeff Schwartz, Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis. This is Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. It's schedule release day in the NFL, and if you are a fan of one aspect of this of the NFL schedule, guess what? You are going to be pissed off. We've got the details for you. It's next here on FSR.
This is Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Jeff Schwartz. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick, the coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up in, we'll call it 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we have got ourselves a juicy, juicy bit of information, a report that is out on what the early stages of the NFL could look like. Make sure you stick around for that. A developing story here on Fox Sports Radio. That coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR.
Oh, no.
But Jeff.
Sounds ominous.
I think I may have, I'll just put it this way. Without giving it away, you were looking for one more game to include in your top 10 of games to look forward to in the NFL season. I think I might have found one for you. All right.
Is it an old quarterback facing a team?
Yes.
Just been traded
yes.
to?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, on my list of things, there are other games like this on my list of favorite games of the year. But I want to hear about what you hate about the NFL schedule because you're being a curmudgeon. Go ahead.
So here's my problem. I'm seeing reports that they are doing away with the double Monday night football.
They are, yeah.
Okay. I'm not a fan of that at all. In fact, I actually thought that, and we mentioned this earlier, you know, during the pandemic, leagues had to try new things. They had to have some new stuff out there. And then, you know, some of the stuff might actually stay. One of them being the schedule being released in May. And the NFL now has made the decision they're going to do this moving forward. I thought we were going to see more doubleheader Monday Night Football games. Just because it felt like, man, this is an opportunity to showcase more teams. It's an opportunity to kind of space games out to where you can get more games on during weekdays. I thought that was going to be a thing. Now, not only is that not a thing, they're not even doing it for week one, which has been done for as long as I can remember. It seems that they've been doing this doubleheader Monday night football game. I'm not a fan of it. It kind of bothers me. I think we need two games to open up the season on Monday night. I'm bummed.
Did you see the announcement of the first game of the season, though? Would that make you feel better if I let you know what that is?
The first Monday night game?
No, the first Thursday night game, the opening game of the season.
That was a tease. Yeah, that was a tease towards the top of next hour. Yeah.
Another game. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't stay up to watch a second Monday night football game. So I'm fine. Don't play it. Like, I'm an East Coast guy. I'm not staying up till 2 a.m. to watch the first game. But I always did like it. Look. I'm never going to say a complaint about more football. Like,
exactly.
That's never something I ever complain about. I mean, I'm watching the Papa John's Bowl on a Tuesday night in December. Like, I'm watching it all, and I probably have some money on UConn in that game. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
well,
all for it.
Yeah,
so I'm never going to say no to football. My favorite part, too, is my wife has just accepted. I'm like, hon, it's football on tonight. I'll talk to you later. Like, it's just at the point now where I get off the radio at 9 p.m. Eastern when my Pac-12 show, and I go downstairs, I give her and kiss, and I go in the family room and watch more football. She just knows it. It's what the life is now, and I love it.
Yeah, my wife says to me last football season, it was a Sunday. She goes, why don't you go to church with me? I was like, there's zero chance you'll see me in a church on a Sunday during football season. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like any other, like the rest of the year,
it's for
that's
your
fine.
Job. That's what I say. It's for my job.
100%, for my job and for my sanity, I need to watch football on Sundays. I need that in my life. Church doesn't do it for me during the fall. It's football for me.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.